I would like to wish all of our mothers a happy Mother's Day. And we will be having some gifts right at the at the end of the service. And so looking forward to that time and honoring our mothers. But we're going to go to the Word of God first. And I do want to just give a quick report. Some of you have asked about my daughter Rachel. She's they started, I think 30 minutes ago, she started pushing, so she labors, I think, started, and so looks like she's going to be a mom on Mother's Day, and so I know she's tired. They started this process yesterday, actually it started Friday night, she went to the hospital, so it's been, I'm sure, a tiring time for them. I've been out of town, came back last night from our Kansas City, Kansas preaching, and got to see Brother Greg up there, and he heard me preach for the first time, he said. Those that you don't know, you know, he works, you know, sometimes third shift and comes in and sleeps while I preach. So he was, of course, giving me a hard time, but anyway, it was a great meeting. And thankful for the Lord's traveling mercies. And so I appreciate your prayers for Rachel. I know any time we should be getting a baby. So looking forward to sharing that news. Today we're going to look at a little known mother of great faith. I appreciate Brother Justin's message Wednesday night on faith. We're going to look at a mother who had faith. You know, faith. Remember what Brother Justin was sharing, that it's the activity of our theology. She had, this mother we're going to look at, she had some beliefs about God and about who He is. And she had faith in Him. She acted on those things. And so we're going to look at this mother. And here's the interesting thing. She's a part of that great cloud of witnesses that we read about in God's honor roll, or what is known as the Hall of Faith chapter in Hebrews 11. So you can go ahead and turn to Hebrews 11. You know, these witnesses, this great cloud of witnesses that God has given us, they represent those that bear witness to us that God is faithful, that we can trust His Word, we can trust His will. These are people that are witnesses to us even today. And I know that a lot of people look at that passage and that follows this chapter in chapter 12, where it talks about those great cloud of witnesses. See, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. You know, some people look at that as these witnesses are looking down upon us today, but I don't believe that's the interpretation. And I'm not saying that nobody's looking down from heaven. They could be. But as I've studied that passage, it's talking about the witness of their life, their testimony. Their life bears witness to us. There's a great cloud of people that have gone before us that have walked through this life, and they prove that God is who He says He is. They prove that God is faithful. And so as we look at their lives, we should be challenged. We should be encouraged by their testimony. And so these people here in this chapter 11, they are bearing witness of their faith in God. And that's what enabled them to walk with God in triumph over all the corrupting influences of this world. And there's only two women who are listed by name in this chapter. Sarah in verse 11 and Rahab in verse 31, which is very interesting because she's a Gentile and she's known as the harlot, Rahab. But it's interesting that how even a harlot came to faith in God and he changed her life, and she serves as a living witness and testimony of a real faith in God. But those are the only two women that's mentioned by name in this chapter. But we're going to look at a mother who is unnamed in this chapter, along with her husband. She was the mother of the greatest prophet and deliverer in all of Israel's history before Christ. I'm sure that you could take a good guess who that person would be. Moses. There's no greater prophet than Moses in all the Bible. He's one of the greatest men that God had ever used to his honor and glory. His name is all over the Bible. Over 848 times his name is mentioned in the Bible. He delivered Israel out of Egyptian bondage. He's the one that God used to part the Red Sea. Those wonderful stories that we learn in Sunday school as children. He's the one that went up on Mount Sinai in the very presence of God and received the law and gave that law to Israel. You know, what's interesting in the New Testament about Moses is that he was one of two men that God sent back from heaven to speak with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration about his death on the cross. That's interesting. He wrote the first song recorded in Scripture. Moses did. And according to Revelation, that song of Moses will still be sung in glory in heaven. And so he's quite a character, quite a man of God. But I want you to think about this. If it had not been for his mother, for the faith of his mother, history would never have known this great man known as Moses. I mean, if you stop to think about that, there would not have been a Moses if it wasn't for the faith of his mother. And you're going to see that in the story as we get into the story today. So we're going to be looking at the faith of Moses' mother. Though this verse we're going to read in Hebrews 11, it includes her husband because it speaks of Moses' parents, their faith. But as we come to Exodus chapter 2 and look at the story in detail, we're going to see that the scripture highlights the faith of Moses' mother. Not the father, but the mother. Before we read our text, I want to just say it's not easy for us who are parents to trust God with our children. It's not easy. And so that's where this mother's story is so important for us today to learn from. So look in verse 23, Hebrews 11, verse 23. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. So it says by faith, Moses' parents, by faith, they acted even against the commandment of the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh of Egypt. They believed God. I want you to turn before we pray to Exodus chapter 2. We're going to pick up the story in Exodus chapter 2. These first 10 verses in Exodus chapter 2. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took a wife, a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Father, we thank you so much for these witnesses that we have in the Word of God, these testimonies of these men and women of faith who acted in faith upon what they believed about you and about your Word. Well, I'm thankful for this mother, Moses, and we don't hear much about her, but no doubt she was a great mom, and she was a mom of faith. As we look at the life of Moses and see a man of faith, a man that accomplished great things for you, we know that his mother had such a key vital part in his life. We thank you for the mothers that we have here today. The mothers who walk with you, the mothers who have faith in you. And Lord, as we're going to learn from this story, that it was not easy to be a mother. It was not easy to walk with you and trust you, and especially in the time that Moses was born. But it's by faith that we can overcome our fears. It's by faith that we can see your promises fulfilled in the lives of our children. Lord, we thank you once again for your Word this morning. We pray that you'd work in our hearts, and even for those that are not mothers here, even for the men and the boys and the teens and the children that are here, we pray that you would help us to be encouraged by this woman who held fast to her faith in God in a very difficult and trying time. Because as we've studied in Hebrews, we know that is one of the underlying themes of that book, is for us to hold fast to our profession of faith in Christ. Lord, may this woman's testimony encourage and challenge each one of us. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this is an interesting story here next to this chapter 2, and I was reading something that was kind of humorous that someone talked about. It was talking about Miriam going to the bank of the Nile River and watching this whole scene that was taking place with her baby brother there in that ark floating down the banks of the Nile River. And some have called this the first financial transaction in the Bible. Pharaoh's daughter went down to the bank of the Nile and drew out a little profit. We're going to look at Moses' mother. A wonderful example of holding fast. Holding fast to her faith in God in the midst of great trial and trusting God with her children. I don't know of any mother that lived in such trying circumstances as this mother did. I know there's a lot of moms here that have gone through some very trying things. Maybe you are going through some trying things right now. And I'm not trying to minimize that. But this mother, what she was going through was pretty rough. It was pretty tough. I think we can be encouraged by her faith. And because what we learn when we start in Exodus chapter 1 and we read the story that Moses' parents, they were slaves in Egypt. Remember when Joseph was sold down into Egypt as a slave? And then you know the story of Joseph. Most of the book of Genesis, a big portion of the book of Genesis, is devoted to Joseph. Why? Because he's a picture of Christ. But Joseph, he became second on the throne to Pharaoh. And I think most of you are familiar with that story. But when we come to Exodus chapter 1, we're looking at 400 years later. Almost 400 years later. And at this point, we see in chapter 1, verse 8, now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. So in this process of time, there were several kings that came to power, and then there came this new king. He didn't know Joseph. And he was watching how Israel was growing and becoming a mighty people. And in fact, in verse 9, he says, they're more and mightier than we. As he spoke with his counselors, and he said, you know, if we don't do something, Israel, they might, they might join together with our enemies, and they might overtake us. They might overthrow us. And so he began to set taskmasters over the Israelites and begin to make their lives bitter, as it says in verse 14, with hard bondage. They were making mortar and bricks. He made them serve with rigor. You know, I'm thinking he's probably thinking, you know, if we work them really hard, they're not going to have time to be having children and growing. So he wanted to put a damper on that growth. He wanted to restrict the growth of this nation. But what's interesting is God sent them down there through Joseph to become a mighty nation. He told Abraham years ago in Genesis 15 that this was going to happen and they were going to serve down there for 400 years. But then God would judge Egypt. And he would lead them out into the land that he promised Abraham. And so we're finding that that time of the 400-year mark is nearing. They're in bondage. Cruel bondage. And he told the Hebrew midwives, he said, let's look at it. Verse 16. When you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then shall she live. Now I want you to just imagine if you were a mom, a Hebrew mom, living in this day and time. Can you imagine the anxiety when you find out that you're pregnant? Can you imagine wondering, is this baby going to be a boy? Or is this baby going to be a girl? I want you to put yourself in the place of Moses' mother and what it could have been like to be a mother when there was a decree from Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, all the male Hebrew boys would be killed. They were not to be suffered to live. But verse 17 says, but the midwives feared God. That's a good thing, isn't it? They feared God. And did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the men children alive? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women. For they are lively and they are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied, and notice this, and waxed very mighty. And so Pharaoh, his plan didn't work. He was trying. You know, you can't, let me just say this, you cannot stop God's plan. God's going to fulfill His purposes and His plans. No matter how strong you are, you can't stop Him. And so he's trying to stop the growth of this nation, but the more he tries to stop it, the greater and more mightier they become. But notice verse 21, it came to pass because the midwives feared God that he made them houses. This is God blessed them and rewarded these midwives. But in verse 22, Pharaoh charged all of his people. Now, instead of telling midwives, he's telling all of his people, the Egyptians, saying, every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. And so now he's telling all of his people, I want you to be spies in all the land. I want you to watch. I want you to be careful about these Hebrew people. And if they have a son, I want you to take that son and throw him into the river. Now, the Nile River had crocodiles. But even if it wasn't for that, they're still going to drown. You throw a baby into a river, it's going to drown. And so this is a death sentence upon all the male babies in Israel. And that's the background as we come to Exodus 2. That's the circumstance that Moses' mother finds herself in. Now her name is not actually listed in this chapter, but if you look in chapter 6 and verse 20, you go a little further in the narrative, it says, and Amram took him Jochebed, his father's sister, to wife, and she bare him Aaron and Moses. The years of the life of Amram were 137 years. So we find that the name of Moses' mother is Jochebed. And we also find it, if you'll look in Numbers chapter 26. In Numbers chapter 26 and verse 59, it says this, and the name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, the daughter of Levi, whom her mother bare to Levi in Egypt. And she bare him unto Amram, Aaron, and Moses, and Miriam, their sister. Something I want you to think about. Miriam, she was a prophetess and a poet and a singer in Israel. Aaron was the first high priest of Israel. Moses was the great prophet and deliverer of Israel. So three great children by this mother whose name is Jochebed. But I don't know any girl or any woman today whose name is Jochebed, do you? I don't. But this is a great mother. She's pretty much unknown by a lot of people, but she was a great mother. This is what her name means. Remember, names, in especially among the Hebrews, were important. They named them with a purpose. Her name means Jehovah is glory. Jehovah is glory. Certainly, Jochebed honored Jehovah God. She brought great glory to God. She taught her children about the glory of God and how that He is so much better than the treasures in Egypt. You know why I know that? Because you read later in Hebrews 11 about Moses. By faith, he forsook Egypt. He forsook the treasures in Egypt, counting the riches that are in Christ of greater value, the recompense in Christ, so much better. Now, I want you to imagine this. This is a slave teaching her kids, listen, the God we serve is better than all these treasures you see in Egypt. And Egypt was the greatest, mightiest empire in this day and time. There was incredible wealth in Egypt. And here, little old slave child that's living in probably a thatched house next to the Nile River, their daddy's a slave making bricks. They're as poor as can be. And their mama's saying, listen, our God is great. Our God is great. He's better. He's better than all that you see here in Egypt. All the gold and all the wealth and all the education and all the things you see around, that our God is better. That's this mother, Jochebed. A woman of faith, a woman who loved God, a woman who brought glory to God, a woman who lived up to her name, that Jehovah is glory. He is glory. He is more glorious than anything else. He's worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our service, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of the fact that we're slaves, and regardless of the fact that we're working with hard rigor and it's bitter. Our God is glorious. Our heritage is marvelous. They believed in the heritage that was given to them from Abraham. You know, I want you to, as we look at this faith of this mother, Jochebed, and put ourselves in her place of what it would have been like when she gave birth to a son, as it says in verse 2. Conceived and bare a son. You know, my daughter already knows she's going to have a girl. But I know back in those days, you didn't know until they were born. And my wife's not here, but I'm pretty sure our first one, we chose not to find out until she was born. And I could be wrong on that, but that's what I remember. And so don't trust my memory, but that's why I remember. I even thought it was that way with all of them, but my wife said, no, that wasn't the way it was. We found out, remember, and it was, I know Hannah, we found out because I remember when we came back from the hospital and we told Jonathan, you're going to have another sister. You know what he did? He ran out in the backyard and cried. He already had two. He didn't want another one. He cried and cried. We tried to give him a brother. Then Abby came along. Another sister. Four sisters. Poor guy. But you imagine here, Jochebed, she gets birth, and you know the excitement that when that baby's born, the first thing a mom wants to know, besides whether the baby's healthy or not, is the sex of the baby. Is it a boy? Is it a girl? And usually the doctor or midwife, whatever, when they're delivered, it's a boy. But I wonder how they said it that day. I wonder if there was like silence that the midwife did not want to say that this is a boy. What are we going to do now? I mean, we have to think about this, because I want you to see that faith acts in light of difficult circumstances. You know, it's not something that we see something first and then we believe. No, it's something that, as Hebrews 11:1 says, it's things we don't see. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. They couldn't see God. They couldn't see how this is going to pan out, but they believed God. They had faith in God. Why? How do I know that? Well, because Hebrews tells us by faith. Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. That took an act of faith, wouldn't you think? You know why it would be an act of faith? Is because of this. Because not only were they... Moses, he was already condemned to die because Pharaoh said that all the boys should die and be killed and be thrown into the river. But she was also putting her whole family at risk. Can you imagine if the king of Egypt found out about this? I'm pretty certain that she's going to die. And most likely, Amram, her husband's going to die. Probably Aaron as well, and Miriam. Probably the whole family would be wiped out. Now, mothers, would you have done what she had done? If it meant you was going to lose the rest of your family? Including the baby you just gave birth to? I mean, would you? I just want you to feel the difficulty, the struggle that this must have been for this woman to believe and have faith in God. But it says she did. She believed. She had faith. She acted. She had a theology about God. She believed that God is sovereign, that God is working, and God had a special plan for this son. I want you to notice that it said there in Hebrews that hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. In Exodus it says a goodly child. In Acts 7:20, it says, an exceeding fair child. I'm not sure what all... I'm thinking that all those words basically mean he was a beautiful child. He was just... When he came out, he was just... And of course, that's how every baby is, in my opinion. They're beautiful. Especially when they're your own. You're just like awed by this baby. But I think there's more to it. I was looking up the word proper in Hebrews 11:23, and it's a Greek word meaning belonging to a city, well-bred, And when I saw belonging to a city, it kind of reminded me of some other verses in Hebrews 11 about Abraham looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. I don't know if there's anything to that, but I just thought that was interesting. But I want to just quote what Warren Wiersbe, he commented this. He said, from the very first, Moses was seen to be no ordinary child. And it was evident that God had a special purpose for him. Believing this to be true, the parents defied Pharaoh's edict and kept their son alive. This wasn't easy to do. Since all the Egyptians were now Pharaoh's official spies, watching for babies to be drowned. I mean, they had secret police everywhere. But I want you to note how Warren Wiersbe, he said Moses was seen to be no ordinary child. Now, I think there's something to this, and let me tell you why I believe there is something to this, because it says by faith. That's the key, Hebrews 11, by faith. Now, let me just ask you, where does faith come from? How do we get faith? You know, I'll give you a couple things I believe the Bible teaches. Number one, faith is a gift from God. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. I believe that in a sense that, yes, you know, salvation, it's a gift from God, yes. But I believe that there's also a sense that faith is a gift from God. But not just that, but Romans 10:17 says this. Here, this is a principle. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So very clearly, the scripture tells us that faith comes by hearing. So as you're listening to the word of God this morning, that's how you exercise faith, is when you hear the word of God and you act on it. As Brother Justin preached, is an activity. It's an action. Faith is not just, it's not a feeling. Faith is not just up in our minds like, oh yeah, I believe that. Faith is an action word. It's when we actually act upon something that we believe. And so here we find that we hear the word of God. Faith comes when we hear the word of God and we act upon it in obedience. So when it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. It's explained to us that they did this in faith. They acted in faith. It wasn't just like, oh, I just really love this boy and I'm just going to take this risk. No, they heard something from God. Whether God spoke to them in some kind of special way about this son, I don't know. The scripture doesn't tell us. But I do know this. God spoke to Abraham. God promised Abraham. And I want you to look with me in Genesis 15. There's a lot of scriptures in Genesis about how God spoke to Abraham. But I want you to look at this one. In verse 13... in Genesis 15, and he said to Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. He doesn't tell us the name, but he's talking about Egypt. And shall serve them, they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward they shall come out with great substance. Now, I just know that because the Bible says Abraham, God trusted him because he knew that Abraham would command his children and he would pass down this to his children, and he did. So Abraham would pass these promises down to Isaac, and he would tell Isaac about these promises God gave him. And then Isaac would teach Jacob, who was Israel, and he would teach him about these promises that God gave to Abraham, their father. And then Jacob would teach his 12 sons, and one of those sons would have been Levi. And so he's teaching his sons these promises. And then Levi, he would be teaching his children, of which Amram and Jochebed are descendants of Levi. And so this word of God, back then, they didn't have this. They had by word of mouth. They would share the word of God. It was something they took serious. And so they would pass it down from generation to generation. And so here we have Jochebed that, you know, they're like, here we are, right on the end of this 400-year time. It's time for God to send a deliverer. And I don't know about you, how many times have you meditated on a scripture, meditated on a promise, and God, I mean, he didn't come speaking out of the heavens with a loud voice, but there was a still small spirit speaking to you in your heart about that scripture. That's kind of the way I believe it happened. You know, they're sitting here looking at this child. I mean, there's something special about this child. And they're like, this is the one. This is the one. The promises that God gave to Abraham about a Messiah coming and about a deliverance coming out of this bondage that we're in. This is he. I don't know how God did that, but he's God, and I believe he did that because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They heard the word of God, and they acted on the word of God. They obeyed the word of God. They did not fear the king of Egypt. So we can see the faith of this mom and this dad who believed the promises of God. It wasn't just their theology, but it was something they actually had faith in, because they risked their very lives. They risked the wrath of the king. I want to just say again, faith always acts on the word of God. Faith always acts on the word of God. You could put the promise of God or the promises of God there. But it always acts on the word of God. Faith is not blind. Faith is not subjective. Faith has an object, and the object is the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so there's an objective word of God and a promise that God gave, and they acted on it. They did something in showing that what God had promised is true. You know, you go back to Hebrews 1, or chapter 11. Hebrews 11, in verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, faith, it makes the things hoped for as if they already had them. It's like they were acting as if they already had these promises. Faith provides unshakable evidence that the things not seen are absolutely certain and real. In other words, faith brings the future within the present and makes the invisible seen. That's faith. And it was this woman's faith that allowed her to overcome her fear of Pharaoh. It was her faith that caused her to hide Moses for 3 months. I want you to imagine how hard that would be, because you have these Egyptian spies everywhere with prying eyes and ears trying to keep this baby quiet. not being able to share with the community about it's a boy, we've got a son, having to keep all that under the, you know, covers and keep it quiet. But when we come to verse 3, it says in Exodus 2, when she could not longer hide him. There came a time it got too risky. She couldn't hide him anymore. And so it said she took for him an ark of bulrushes. In other words, she made this little basket. But it's interesting that it's called an ark here, because I don't think that's an accident that it's called an ark, because, I mean, it could have said a basket, but it doesn't say that. It says an ark. Where do we first learn about the ark? Noah. God delivered Noah, who was a deliverer, brought in the new world. The old world perished in the flood, and there's through this ark, which pictures Christ. There's a lot of type here, and I'm not going to spend time on that because that's not the point of the message, but I'm just pointing out that there's something to that. And but she builds this little ark and dabbed it with, says, slime and pitch, and in other words, make it where it could float and waterproof. And she put Moses therein, or the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. The flags, these little brush that would be growing up through the edge of the river. And I want you to now think about this. She took the step of faith to hide Moses. She believed God. This boy, God had a plan for him. But this next step of faith is even a bigger step. Now it's come to the point that she can't hide him anymore. Now it's come to the point she has to totally give him to God. She has to totally trust God. Okay, God, you promised. And I'm going to put him in the river. I'm trusting your sovereign providence. Think about the faith that she had, giving him up. Now, this is harder because she's had him for 3 months. She's nursed him for 3 months. She's cuddled him for 3 months. She's kissed on him for 3 months. Her heart was attached to this baby. And give it over to God. This is a big step of faith. I can't imagine this. I cannot imagine this at all. But I want to say this to all the parents here today, especially those that have children at home right now. And I say this because I've experienced it, and many of you others have experienced it as well. Letting your children go is never easy as a parent. Amen. It really doesn't happen at once either. It really happens when they're young, while you have them. Taking them to the babysitter for the first time, or taking them to preschool for the first time and dropping them off. Moms, you know how hard that is. It's a little step in letting go. But then it gets harder, because then, as I know a mom back there on the back row, Sarah, a mom's fixing to give, see a boy graduate. Another step. and letting go. It's even harder than dropping them off at school for the first time. And then a step after that, marriage. Especially if you have girls, giving your daughter. Brother Tim, it's not going to be easy. Brother Justin, you got all girls. Giving your daughters to some man. Letting go. Seeing them grow up. Over and over again we do that. Over and over again. It's a giving up, letting your children go. And it's been said mothers begin saying goodbye to their children from the moment they're born. And I believe that's true. And so you need to start giving your children to the Lord as soon as they're born. If you don't, when graduation comes, it's going to be very hard. When marriage comes, it's going to be even harder. You got to start giving them to God early. Start that process in your own heart, giving them to God. And I remember when all my children were born, the first thing I did was, God, I give them back to you. I give them back to you. And you know, that was important because I needed to be reminded they weren't mine to start with. This is the stewardship God's given me. He's entrusted me with them. But once you've given your children to the Lord, you need to trust God's sovereign care. You have to trust. You have to have faith in God's sovereign care. And I love this next section, beginning verse 5. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him, said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." You know, here we see God's amazing, loving, sovereign, powerful, protective care of Moses. You know, here's a mother in faith said, "God, I'd give him to you." And here's God doing what he does. Doing exactly what he promised. But I want you to notice the irony in all of this. You know, Pharaoh had ordered all the male babies to be killed and be thrown into the river, as if men were the only ones dangerous to his kingdom. But I want you to look at how God worked through women. This is amazing. It was through women that God was working. He started with the midwives who spared the Hebrew babies. And then he was working through Jochebed, and who hid Moses for 3 months. And then through Miriam, who watched over Moses as he was floating down that river in that ark of bulrushes. And now, through Pharaoh's own daughter, who comes along, she finds this baby, and that baby, as soon as they open that ark, Moses cries. And it gets her heart. Says she had compassion. She knew this was one of the Hebrews' children. She knew what her father's orders were. But she took this child. She had compassion. This is amazing to see God's providence and to see God's amazing care. This is something only God could do. But it gets better as you come to verse 7. And then his sister, Moses' sister, this is Miriam, to Pharaoh's daughter. Basically what she said, "Hey, you want me to call a mother that can nurse this baby for you?" And And she said, go get her, mother. Go get her. Go get her. And so she runs and she gets Moses' mom. She gets her mom. She, hey, mom, guess what? You gave your son to God, but now guess what? God's giving him back to you. Isn't that amazing? Giving him back. She has Moses, but that's not all. Pharaoh's daughter said in verse 9, take this child away, nurse it for me, and I will give thee wages. She got paid to do it. That's an added blessing. I mean, she gets her baby back. She gets to nurse her baby. She gets to be with her baby, and she gets paid to do it. This is something only God could do. Our amazing God. Amazing God. I mean, when you look at the timing of all this, I mean, think about it. I mean, there's nothing here that says they were watching for Pharaoh's daughter and waiting until she stepped out to come to the river. No, they had nothing of that at all in their mind. They just like, Lord, we're going to trust you. And they put that baby in the river. And Miriam was just walking along the Nile River watching this flow down the river. By God's providence, Pharaoh's daughter, it's time to go for a bath. Yeah, that's where they bathed, in the river. So she went with her maidens. They went down to the river. And what's that? There's just something just floating along. And go get that. Told her maidens to get out there and brought it. And you know the story. I mean, it's just amazing the timing and how everything just worked and connected. And only God could work out these details. And it brings me to Romans 8:28, where all things work together for good to them that love God, that are called according to His purpose. God is sovereign and God is good. Give your children to God. Trust God's sovereign care. That's what this story is all about. Trust God with your children. Let them go. Give them to God. Trust Him. God loves your children more than you do. He can take better care of them than you can. So to trust God with your children, you have to have faith in God first, yourself. Have faith in God yourself. And remember what faith is. It's not just having this belief, but it's you're hearing the Word of God and you're believing it. You're acting upon it. You're obeying. No matter how hard it is. You're acting on that. That's faith. And then after you have faith in God yourself, you trust your children to God. You have faith that God's going to take care of your children. And listen, this don't ever end. I mean, your children get to be adults. There's that constant concern of a parent and that constant praying of a parent for children. And I'm sure it's still true of my mom. I'm sure that she still prays for me and my brother and her grandkids because it never stops. You never stop having concern for your kids. And you worry. And the best thing you can do is just trust them to God. And to pray to God to work out His will in their life. But the next step after having faith in God and trusting your children to God, the next step, and this is very, very important, and I don't have a lot of time for this, is that you need to train your kids to have faith in God. Train your kids to have faith. I mean, if you look here at this mother, I don't know how long she had, but back in those days, that nursing was a little bit longer than than a year or 10 months that's normal today. It was sometimes their weaning process would be 5 to 7 years. And so I want you to think about this, because this is the formative years of a child. And I read one time that the Jesuit priest said that you give us the first 7 years of your children's life and you can do whatever you want with them after that. You know why they said that? Because they knew they could plant in those children, those first 7 years, everything they needed to know about their faith. They would stick with them the rest of their life. And I believe that's true in the story of Moses, that his mom, if it was even 3 years or whatever it was, I believe it was more close to around 5 years. And so she, realizing, can you imagine? She knows, I'm going to have to give him up again. When the weaning process, I'm going to have to give him up for adoption. Can you imagine the urgency? I've got to teach this child to walk in the ways of God. I've got to teach this child the Word of God and about the promises that we have, the promise of the Savior. I've got to teach this child what it looks like to walk in faith with God. It was an urgent thing. It was something that she had to take very serious, but she knew there was just a little window of opportunity that she had. 5 years maybe, 7 years maybe at the most. And yet we as parents today, we get them at least 18 years and we don't take it with urgency. But listen, I want to tell you right now from experience that before you blink your eyes, they're gone. They're out of your home. You better take it serious while they're in your home. You better take this serious of training your children in the ways of the Lord, raising them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The Bible talks about that. You need to take it serious, and like Jochebed, implant into your children a faith in God, to believe God, and model that before them. Don't just tell them, but live it and show them. Pray with them, not just pray for them. Teach them how to pray. You know, you can't parent your child forever. You can't. When my kids first went off on their own, it's really, really hard those first few years not to keep parenting them. You have to come to the point where you just, Lord, I trust you, and I want to say something, I want to do something, but you can't parent them forever. But what you can do is this: you can provide them a foundation. You can teach them. And number two, you can walk by faith yourself and provide a witness to them. You can be one of those, even though you may not be found in Hebrews 11, you can be one of those cloud of witnesses in the lives of your children and grandchildren as they look at your life. And do they see a life of faith? Do they see a Jochebed? Do they see an Amram? Do they see a Moses? Because they look at your life and they think, look, my parents went through this hard circumstance, but yet they still trust God. They still walk with God. That's a witness of our life to our children. We must live for God. And listen, that's one thing that keeps me wanting to draw close to the Lord, because I'm thinking, my children, I want to be a testimony to them. My grandchildren, I want my grandchildren to see that their pop walks with God. Their pop has faith in God. You know, Moses was born during a very difficult time, but Jochebed, she trusted God. These are hard times we're living in. It's very challenging to raise kids today with all the technology and electronics, and it's hard, but listen, our God is the Most High God. He's over all things. We can trust Him. Trust in the Lord yourself. Have faith in God. Do you have faith in God today? Have you put your faith in Jesus for salvation this morning? That's the first step of faith, when you come to Jesus by faith and you get reconciled to God and you become His child. That's the first step. The next step after that is baptism. When you obey. You know, the Bible says if you put your faith in Christ, you should be baptized to publicly profess that faith. That's the next step of faith. If you haven't taken that faith, then you're not going to go much further in your walk with the Lord. Amen. Take the next step. Get baptized. And then get into the membership of the church and start growing and serving. And that's how those steps of faith happen. And as you grow in your faith, they become bigger steps. But you know the whole reason for it all? It's not for me, it's not for you that we take these steps just so we can have more peace and comfort in our lives, so that we can have more joy and so that we can have more blessings from God. Though those things are a benefit of walking with God, the real reason is so that we can give glory to God. Jochebed's name, the Lord is glory. Jehovah is glory. That's our purpose. To give glory to God. To show people Jesus is so much better. That's the whole purpose. To show people Jesus is so much better. So by faith, trust in the Lord. Start taking those steps of faith. Trust your children in God's care. Because you cannot care for them forever. Give them to God. Now, give them to God. Right now, trust God to work in their lives. Give yourself to God first, but then you give your children to God. And then you start raising them for God. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray before we have our invitation. This is a good time for us to come and thank God for our mothers. You had a godly mother, a Christian mother, you ought to come and thank God for that. You mothers, you ought to come and say, Lord, I want to be like Jochebed. I want to be a mother of faith. I want to be a mother that's a witness to my children. I want your grace to train my children up to walk with you. You're a child of God. We need to come to Him this morning and trust in Him, but trust our lives to Him. Father, we come to you today. We're so grateful for Jochebed and her faith and her testimony that witnesses to us even today, all these thousands of years later. We see a woman who, because of her faith, she saw your work in a marvelous way through her son, to see him grow up, forsaking the treasures of Egypt, not choosing the pleasures of sin, which are just for a season, but choosing to suffer reproach with the followers of Christ and being willing to be an instrument in your hands and to bring about deliverance to your people and bring glory to your name. What a beautiful story it really is. It began with a mother's faith. A mother who acted upon the word of God in obedience. And God, you've called each one of us to act in obedience this morning. Whether it's for a lost person that needs to obey the gospel, to repent and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ by coming to Him, trusting Him, or taking that next step and submitting to baptism, church membership, or maybe it's a mother that wants to give her children to the Lord again and trust her children to the Lord. Lord, I don't know how you've used this message in each person's heart, but we're just praying, Lord, that you'd help us to follow the faith of this faithful woman, Jochebed. And I pray in Jesus' name. Brother Curtis is going to sing. Once you step out and come, this is your opportunity to show your faith. Remember, faith is an action. Would you come to Jesus today? Would you come to him and say, Lord, I want to come to you. Put my faith in you and trust in you. Lord, I want to act upon what you're showing me today in my life. I want to obey your word. Won't you come today, Brother Curtis? Would you sing, please?
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting.